We are continuing, or actually restarting, to study Baal HaSulam's article, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, on page 173 from the book Pri Chacham, Fruit of Wisdom, articles. We started it yesterday, and after the first section we didn't stop talking. So let's hope that we'll read some more today. We just want to remind you that our phone number for questions and comments is 1-700-509-2091, 1-700-509-2091. The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, from the book Pri Chacham, Fruit of Wisdom, articles, page 173. On the internet you can find it under that name, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy. What is spirituality? Philosophy has gone through a great deal of trouble to prove that corporeality is the offspring of spirituality and that the soul begets the body. Still, their words are not acceptable to the heart in any manner. Their primary mistake is their erroneous perception of spirituality, that spirituality fathered corporeality, which is certainly a fib. Any parent must somehow resemble its progeny. It is this parent-progeny relation that is the path and the roots by which its sequel extends. In addition, every operator must have some regard to its operation by which to contact it. Since you say that spirituality is denied of any corporal incidents, then such a path does not exist. Thus, what regard can the spiritual have of the corporal by which to contact corporeality and set it in any kind of motion? Meaning there is detachment between spirituality and corporeality. There are connections, of course, but it's not that these connections are something we can talk about. These connections are, as we say, the whole earth is full of His glory, and the upper light is in complete rest, fills the entire world, and etc., etc. So they are not, these connections are not clear and appear to a person, and those who are in corporeality are in corporeality, and those who are in spirituality are in spirituality. And the connection is not present, is not attainable to us. Therefore, when philosophers talk about the connection between corporeality and spirituality, how corporeality is born out of spirituality, by thinking that corporeality is clothed in spirituality, of course they're wrong. And here he talks about philosophers, but it's not just philosophers, it's every person that think that the soul clothes the body, that a person through physical actions can activate his soul, can operate it, that by doing physical actions, by performing mitzvot, which he calls spiritual actions, he performs spiritual corrections. But if we say that there is no connection between the body and the soul, and there's no clothing of the soul in the body, or corporeality in spirituality, then we find results here immediately that are then. So what about us, ordinary people? Because so do we do something with our body or not? We don't. And with our desire, do we do something? Perhaps our desire is called spirituality? No. Our desire is also called corporal, if it is egoistic. Spirituality means in order to bestow. So in our desire too, we are detached from spirituality. Not just in the body, in the flesh and blood. So, it turns out that we have no connection to spirituality whatsoever, physically or internally, our desires, awareness, everything we are. And that's a problem. How do we then talk about spirituality, and it's true, Balasaram says we can't. That's why he says, why do philosophers philosophize, and what are they chatting about? It has nothing to do with philosophy, with the human mind, to talk about spirituality, because it is detached completely from spirituality. So what's it to talk about? And for ordinary people too. He's not told about it, but he has no connection whatsoever to spirituality. And whatever he says in his mouth or does in his hands and legs, he doesn't do by that any spiritual corrections, but it's just physical actions per se. That's it. It is forbidden to tell that to everyone because it can weaken people, and they'll think that everything is allowed. Of course, there is ability to create connection between spirituality and corporeality from below upward, but that connection, we have to learn how to build it. And this is actually the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. But those who work only out of the intellect and out of the human sensation, of course they cannot understand and discuss what is spirituality. Yes. On the one hand, you say that we are detached from spirituality. On the other hand, we know that we do, that in our situation, we do negatively affect. If we do certain things, it comes back to us badly. So we are connected to spirituality, in fact. We are in the spiritual world, in a reality called the world Ein Sof. Of course, we affect the world Ein Sof. How? We don't know. But we do. Whether we affect in a good way or a bad way, Kabbalists tell us that we don't really do it in a good way. We can do it better, and then we will advance toward discovering the world Ein Sof, toward feeling that we are in Ein Sof, in completeness, in eternity, and we are not progressing toward it nicely or correctly, but through troubles and afflictions. Our influence on spirituality, on the world Ein Sof, what does it mean that it is negative? It means that we are not paying attention to all our possibilities to make contact with the spiritual world, and that we are behind in our ability that was given to us from above, and that is constantly renewed from above, to renew the connection between us and spirituality. So when, because we are behind in that, we're working against us in that. The world is, in the end, Ein Sof, yes, through all kinds of dresses, operates on us to create a bad sensation. And that sensation, in the end, will bring us to look for the reason. And by that, we will find a way to connect to spirituality. But the more behind we are in it, then it all turns against us. That's it. So of course there is influence on our part, but again, it's on the same channel, the same path, but we have to make contact with spirituality, and if we don't make contact with spirituality, then we get a negative response. That's it. So the very same actions that are not in the right directions, we feel them by nature or from nature as a negative attitude. It's not that someone beats us up, that the Creator sends us affliction, but we, by creating the wrong reaction to what we get from above. We get from above a chance every moment to connect to spirituality. If we have no appreciation of it, then that disrespect comes back to us. We activate the system and we do it to ourselves. And that's what happens. Yes. So, in a human inquiry, could we create some scientific critique and see which actions brought us bad, and what did we do that created a better situation in reality? Would we then discover the path by which we influence spirituality? Never. Do we, with our intellect, never are we able to detect that path between us and spirituality, because for that you have to have a hold of both points, here and there. And what spirituality is, we cannot even define it correctly. Ask 1,000 people, you'll get 1,000 opinions, and none of them will be true. And you will not know what is true and what is not. So throughout history, in our experience, we can only learn one thing: we are wrong, but we don't know what is right. And throughout the afflictions in history, because of the pains, we're not getting smarter in detecting spirituality. We're not. We're just accumulating desperation. It is not within the capability of the human mind to reach this understanding. That is why we cannot say that today's philosophers are smarter or closer to the truth than philosophers of the past. They wrote so primitively about philosophy, the Greek philosophers, that the soul is breathing and all kinds of things that seem very primitive. Today we are seemingly not in it, but that doesn't mean that they were any less smart than us or farther from understanding spirituality. On the contrary, they were more within nature, closer to nature, and they at the very least understood nature. The way they wrote it, like ancient medicine, not symptomatic medicine, but basic medicine. They looked at a person, at the person within it. And so you can't say humanity made no progress in it whatsoever, and it will not make progress because of the detachment. But if philosophy musters modern science, like quantum physics and other things, that we see that they're coming closer and closer to understanding some higher regularity or true regularity in reality, will they not be able to deduce about spirituality? Well, quantum physics simply says that we have things that we can't understand. Even that we can't understand things that where there's a higher reason than matter. Right, but we can't perceive it. By not being able to perceive and speaking negatively, that still doesn't mean that we can talk about the phenomenon itself, outside of the negativity. Take biology. Biology teaches us that altruism, giving, is the next degree of human evolvement. Because in the end, the way we progress and come together into a small village, etc., and the crisis we're in, so in that we're like We're like animals in distress, on the one hand, accumulating distress, and gradually they start discovering that they're connected to each other and they don't have a choice, and no one can be saved from the connection and from needing the other. That's how obvious it will become. And by that we will discover that we will have to relinquish to one another. We see it already among countries. We don't have a choice. We have to make way. No one, we have to be lenient with each other, because no one wants to get into war because you know that you can get into it, but you don't know where it's going to go. So we're all so connected. Okay, so we'll have to be lenient with one another. We'll have to be courteous and good to one another in order to survive. Nature will force us. Reality will force us. But that doesn't mean that we will succeed, because we have some examples from kibbutzim, from Russia, and from other places. And other examples, Kabbalists say, of course, that in this way we'll fall into worse situations, into worse crises. Meaning, whether we like it or not, it is not worthwhile for us to think that we can progress physically in a human manner towards spirituality. Spirituality can only be the salvation, because that's the goal, and the whole world and our whole evolution is aimed toward it. And if we advance only by being friends with each other, we'll ruin the world more than any atomic bombs we have. From nature, yes? The earth will explode somewhere, a little crack, and that's it. I'm telling you. It will not tolerate these things. It is worse than the Tower of Babylon that they talk about. Yes, not the historic one, but the spiritual one. Because if there is no component of connection with godliness within the connection among people, it is a spiritually destructive thing. It is stronger than any force in our world. It is... Well, we won't come to it, because there's a purpose of creation. We have to reach it, that form. But terrible things will appear. At least Nazism. Throughout the world, in every country. That's the least. In the worst possible way. So, treating the connection among people must, to begin with, come through Kabbalists. Within it, there must be an accurate direction toward the purpose of creation, connection with godliness. And not that I connect to you because we don't have a choice and now we're friends. Otherwise, what can we do? Otherwise, we'll kill each other. That's how the cells in our body connect, because we don't have a choice. We take a higher goal than both of us, and for that purpose we continue. So we make partners, like in a business. But this kind of connection, to survive here and there in groups, saves us. But if that is the goal of humanity, it'll ruin it. Because here there will be no higher element, the Creator. The whole purpose of the breaking is to connect to Him, to reach Him, not to reconnect among ourselves. So we must, by treating humanity, we have to have that element inside, to be internal, so that it will not be seen immediately, but that it will be discovered slowly. To the extent that we can accept it, but only this way. Meaning the Torah and the Creator must be together. Otherwise, we will have such a kibbutz that it'll explode more than our kibbutzim. Each of them has the debt to the country is, I don't know how many millions of dollars. But here, it'll be something terrible. You can talk about kibbutzim, you can say about kibbutzim in Russia that the fruit was not ripe, there was no globalization. The question is this, let's say a third and fourth world war. Now, the globalization has nothing to do with it. Globalization only compels you to be considerate of the other, yes? So they came to it, they said, it is worthwhile for us to be considerate of others. They understood that kibbutz is a closed society, they understood that if I suffer, others will suffer too. So, now the question is, alright, let's put aside the suffering, a third, fourth world war. Out of the suffering, they come to understand that the connection and equivalence are necessary. And from that, they come to a third, to a fifth and sixth world war. Now, at the same time, let's say humanity realizes out of altruistic culture and upbringing that there's something higher or sublime in love. There are such things. That, too, the highest thing that can spring from humanity will be corporeal, because there is no connection between spirituality and corporeality. Do you understand? That's what he's saying. And that is why if people did not take the wisdom of Kabbalah into their hands and did not receive guidance from those who are in it already, reads what he writes in every place, then man is unable to find connection by himself as much as he suffers. Now, my question is more accurate than that. By nature, by scientific research, we can come to understand there's one comprehensive reality, law, which is the law of bestowal. We can teach humanity that bestowal is something sublime. That's egoistic altruism. How is this goal higher above reason? How is this higher than the law in nature? It is above nature. That's what we call above nature. That is within matter, and that is above matter. I understand you can't understand this delta, the gap between them, but that's the whole thing. That's the point. Above reason is what takes you into the spiritual realm. You can remain in the corporal realm for another million years with suffering and some rest from it after the wars and all kinds of things. But you will find no way to spirituality. That's what it tells you in the first paragraph. There is no connection. That is why a person in this world is completely, has no hope whatsoever of finding the right goal, and that goal is right in front of him. And from within that goal, you are operated, and before we reach it, you will suffer. So we have no choice. We have to have the wisdom of Kabbalah and Kabbalists to teach us. And that this wisdom, this method will be within all those drills that the world will carry out. They don't have to know that they have to reach godliness, bestowal, above, whatever. They just should know that they are good to one another. In Lo Lishma there are many situations, but inside there has to be a direction. They have to hear to begin with. Listen to someone who is already in spirituality and is leading them correctly. I'll tell you, even the curriculum for first graders is done by great professors who already know, yes? The end of the act is in the preliminary thought, who already know, but that's the way to start, and that's the way to study every day. So it's impossible that, and they will not come to anything. Perhaps they'll agree to listen more, they'll have an attentive ear, maybe some of them. I don't know how the connection will be. Before it happens, I can't say that that's how it's going to be. But connection has to be between humanity, those who will disseminate de facto the altruism, and Kabbalists who will direct them in some ways, in what ways it has to be brought to humanity and how it should be directed. And superficially there will be no sensation whether it's Kabbalah or not Kabbalah, no one is going to know. So I'm asking, if superficially there's no sensation, what then is the difference between a Kabbalist who leads and a philosopher who repeats the same things? What's the difference? You saw the plans that they had in Russia and the kibbutzim. To begin with, the plans were wrong. Where is this above reason? In the study, in the society, in the Kabbalist, where is this above reason? Where is it in the method? It is in the method where the last person here, some Shimon from the market, is operated by the Kabbalist's mind in the whole chain until it comes to Shimon from the market. In the brain, and the shepherd is this Kabbalist, and he follows what he says. For him, of course, the commandment seems completely different. It's simple, understood to its body, and that's it. It says, get on with Shlomo, who is next to you in the market, be friends, and you'll be fine. But it comes out of the Kabbalist commandment who operates the system. And for this system, he creates the connection with godliness. So the connection of humanity to spirituality will be done through a Kabbalist. And in that, there's faith above reason. That's a change. No, the faith above reason is not in that. No, that's incorrect. In that, they will certainly go by the right phases and will come to above reason. There are many things here that come by connection because we are in a general chain of one body and each receives from another what the other gains intellectually, and I gain through some actions I receive from his mind to my mind, even though I didn't have the intellect before. But because I give him something of mine, of my own, there are things here that, look, it's not simple. But it's a clear system. What's not clear is how we do it de facto in this world. So we'll talk about it. In that too, we, I hope, bring things to good. Yes. However, understanding the meaning of the word spirituality has nothing to do with philosophy. How can they discuss something that they have never seen or felt? What do their rudiments stand on? If there is any definition that can tell the spiritual apart from the corporeal, it belongs only to those who have attained and felt a spiritual thing. Those people are the genuine Kabbalists. Thus, it is the wisdom of Kabbalah that we need. If we want to talk about spirituality in some way, even if we understand it or don't, we have to open books of Kabbalists and try to find in them what it is. Because they are the people, the flesh and blood, who were at the time when they felt, received, equalized with what is called spirituality, and somehow put it in the book. And we, perhaps by mistakes or not, we can come at least closer to this concept, spirituality. Everything else is materialistic psychology per se. We don't have to name it as spirituality, because it doesn't belong to it, to the human psychology. If I try and assume correctly what brings those people who are realistic and mature and everything to decide that this and that is spirituality without any understanding what it is actually, It's a combination of mind and heart, if I'm correct. Yes? The mind invents something, and the heart establishes it. There are all kinds of sensations, of descriptions of sensation, of relations. And so they say, all right, that's great, that's spirituality. What is this phenomenon? That a person with his intellect feels something is great and says, that's spirituality. If it's a little greater than what I'm used to, and is not quite perceptible in my kelim, then I can call it spirituality. Some call spirituality love. Some say, yes, if I go into the internet and look for spirituality, I'm presented with theater, movies, painting, sculpturing, spirituality. Poetry. People use that word for anything they like. Every word, type the word high, you'll get culture and everything. Meaning, people ascribe these things that are a little higher than our stomach. Not the stomach and below kind of pleasure, but something a little higher than that, right? He ascribes it to spirituality. That's it. What can you do? That's our definition, because that's all we have. Now, to continue this question, what is the difference between a person who is along the way, on the way, studying Kabbalah, and gets a sensation of elation, some high spirits, he is in a sense. What's the connection between that and spirituality? Students of Kabbalah, I don't know what it is. There are so many. And who knows what happens with a person. You're asking how we should call the sensation. I would say impression, excitement. I can be impressed with other things in this way too. I don't know what spirituality is yet, yes? I didn't become a Kabbalist de facto, receiving the upper light in my kelim, corrected kelim, according to the light. But I have some impression. We can call this impression or makif or other kinds of light that seemingly operate on us if we are somehow like it. Baal HaSulam writes that sometimes a person out of his great yearning is awarded with a small luminescence from above called the luminescence of divinity. Sometimes he gets the opposite. He sees an abyss. It's called the illumination of Malchut. There are such phenomena. But a person can't call it spirituality because it's still not defined in him. We can only define according to our kelim. So I would say it's some impression. But it is already an impression in the right direction. If you're studying with a Kabbalist and he brings you through all kinds of situations to more and more progressed situations, and in your mind and heart you start scrutinizing things and seeing them subtler and subtler discernments, and it accumulates, and you put this world in a certain place with respect to, well, you already begin to determine what spirituality is, so you are advancing correctly. You're not going to connect to another person because it'll make you feel good. You don't feel like connecting to others. But the goal, the sublime goal, is so important that you will have to connect to another in order to obtain it, so that you will see the necessity in it to connect, so that I know that only in my common kli do I discover godliness, and that's what I want. So that will compel me to connect to the common kli. Otherwise, it will be an egoistic connection. Altruism, egoistic altruism, which is that's why it's so destructive, because I do the same connection on the outside, but in the opposite direction. I do an anti-spiritual thing. In all my other dealings, I'm like a child playing with my toys and something. I don't want to do homework. All right, so. But here, I'm doing something completely anti. I'm taking a spiritual tip, so to speak, to connect among us, to bond, but in a different direction. It's a klipa. If the right direction is not in there, it's a klipa. If there is the leading force of a kabbalist in there, and even a person who doesn't know for the time being what he does, and does it seemingly out of his egoistic desires, or he was told and he does, then he does it in the right direction. It's a huge difference. Just think about it. About how it's a substantial difference. That's why when humanity begins to correct only egoistically, without us being in it, it'll do itself the greatest possible harm. It'll be Nazism. And even worse. Why were communists so connected to Nazis? It's the same regime, same thing. They're very close. Stalin and Hitler, they were very connected. They understood each other perfectly. Yes. On that topic is, what is the task of the nation of Israel to show the world how not to err or to give it the right direction? Not to err or to err. Don't you... what are we supposed to tell them? Don't connect. Wait until we disseminate Kabbalah and everything will be okay. And then, all right, now connect. Right? Our task is to work toward disseminating the message. Those who get it in their kelim, at their level, at their, in their way. And then, this pyramid is made out of absorbing the wisdom of Kabbalah within itself, the human pyramid. Above, there are those who absorb more, and lower and lower and lower. But it's on condition that this whole bulk, formless bulk, you put the wisdom of Kabbalah into it, the method, and then this hunk becomes a pyramid. And then you can lead it. Yes. So it's not necessarily connected to the exterior nation of Israel. No, not the exterior nation of Israel. It'll be organized accordingly. And we have to disseminate in it first, of course. But it'll have to be organized accordingly, and then we'll see what will happen with the pyramid in it. But that must come first. That's all we have to worry about. To move forward ourselves and disseminate to the world. The more knowledge about it there is in the world, regardless of how it sits, how it fits in the picture, that's not our problem anymore. The world, whether it likes it or not, whether it appreciates it or not, they will now be connected to the method. So the whole progress will still be incorporated or connected to it. Yes. If the soul doesn't clothe in a body, how can we? How are we operated? How are we operated if the soul doesn't clothe the body? The soul does clothe the body. And there is a connection. But it depends on what you define as the soul. If I define a soul, that part in me that will be born, that is called the will to bestow, the Masach and Ochazer, that is similar to the upper light, which I do not feel in Atzmuto, as Atzmuto. That part I call a soul, so that I still don't have it. I don't have any connection to spirituality either. When I call a soul that part of livelihood in me that operates me and builds me, that I receive from above, then of course it is. Understand? It depends on what we define as a soul. We, when we say that I have or do not have a soul, we don't say the upper light is not everywhere, doesn't operate me now. Of course, everything I do right now and say, it's all operated by forces. But I'm talking about a soul where I voluntarily, with my ability, with my work, build that part that is similar to the Creator in me. And that part, the part of God above that's similar to the Creator, that is what I call a soul. Let's continue. I see this article is stirring up upheaval. Philosophy with regard to his essence. Philosophy loves to concern itself with him and prove which rules do not apply to him. However, Kabbalah has no dealings whatsoever with his essence. So here we also see that philosophers engage in abstract things. They imagine godliness, upper force, operating in nature in every detail. It's inside matter, operating through matter. Of course, there are such forces, and perhaps there's one force, as even scientists think today, that operates the whole system. Nature in Gematria is godliness. It's not against what Kabbalists say, but they deal with it without understanding it, only according to what they want, and they think that by chemistry and physics laws and sciences they can imagine this, perceive this upper force. And Kabbalists say, no, we never, in any place, in any situation, whatever the case may be, do not come to this, do not reach this force, because this force is existence from existence, and we are existence from absence, and the phenomena in us that we say, where that there's some clothing of this force in me, a light in the kli, the light is not the light that is outside the kli, it's atzmuto. That's what we call the light outside the kli, and atzmuto is the only word that we ascribe to it. We have no touch, understanding of it, awareness of it, etc. But all the phenomena there are only phenomena within the kli, where the kli changes. And all those changes, we can measure them and name them according to our measurement by all kinds of names. Measure in sensation, in intellect, by meter, by kilograms, whatever. Measure them. And that pertains only to the kelim. That is why philosophy is, you might say, it is an abstract dealing, something that is unknown and will never be known. And Kabbalah is a practical business, something that Kabbalists feel in their kelim, beginning from this world until he rises to the highest level that can only be in the spiritual, on the spiritual ladder. It's all about the impression of the kelim, realistic and scientific impressions of the kelim. Yes. For how can the unattainable and imperceptible be defined? Indeed, a negative definition is just as valid as a positive one. For example, if you see an object from a distance and recognize its negatives, meaning all that it is not, that too is deemed as seeing and some extent of recognition. If an object is truly out of sight, then even its negative characteristics are not apparent. Meaning, from the negative side too, we can't talk about what our kelim do not perceive. If I don't perceive, if I don't feel, I can't talk, I can't even say that I don't perceive it or feel it exactly. What do you not perceive? What do you not feel? Explain it to me. There's nothing to explain. Meaning, it is one vis-a-vis the other. If I say that I don't perceive something, then I have perception in it, and now I don't perceive it. Meaning, it comes out of emptiness in some kli that is already ready and indicates that it is not full. That's why Kabbalists can't talk about negativity too in godliness, because there's no kli for a person, for a human being, for godliness. When a person is not in spiritual attainment yet, but is already on some preparatory process, some awareness of the situation, so he's experiencing some sensitivity, from what we said now, he can't determine whatsoever any kind of negative or positive attitude to anything. He can't determine whatsoever, not from negativity, not from positivity, with respect to the situations he experiences. A person who is evolving spiritually, evolvement means I change every moment my values, my kelim. And from the kelim, as it says, anyone who disqualifies his own kli. I measure my situations, the world that appears to me, I measure it according to what I am in every moment of my evolvement. So the fact that I understand that I can't determine definitely about anything, myself or others or the world, that means that I am already, that I already have some experience and I'm changing. So I should not determine today for certain anything. Perhaps tomorrow it'll change. It's a good experiment, but you can't determine anything by that. Not even that you can or cannot determine anything. Yes. The corporeal reality that we perceive before we relate to others. What is it? What is it made for? The corporeal reality we perceive now is that spiritual world, yes, in the corporeal form that we perceive in our attributes, in our present attributes. We perceive it this way because it is a still degree. It has nothing to do with holiness. It is in a still degree in us, and we have to be in it until we attain Gmar Tikkun. It is a degree that was given to us as the lowest degree, minimal degree of existence. And if we are at that level, in still vegetative and animate, and in our speaking degree, meaning with respect to our body, and with respect to spirituality, spirituality meaning the body is what the body wants, yes? Food, family, sex, all those things. And then with respect to money, honor, knowledge, yes? If all of that which is called human, if I bring it up to the purpose of creation, if I elevate it to the purpose of creation, and all of that corporal things that I have in me, like the same things that animals have, I take it as a necessity, like any animals. Like any animal, they don't eat more, they don't do anything more than nature tells them to revive their body. So if I keep my body in this way, according to natural commandments only, it's called necessity. How do I discern it? I think only about the goal, and then what I have to give to the body is necessary. So if I work this way, then at the level I am in the corporal existence, it is unchanging. In that, I belong to the animate degree. And my essence, my speaking degree, is then enters spirituality. And our world is that degree of, or level of animate that then I'll be keeping. That will really be this world. And that level will be unchanging. For a Kabbalist before Gemar Tikkun, the same degree remains, and he'll be in our life that way in this world. And he'll feel himself through the body too, the unchanging body. In his body, he's like any other animal in this world. He goes to a doctor, he changes body parts, whatever. Let's move on a little bit. If, for example, we see a black image from a distance, but can still determine that it is neither human nor a bird, this too is considered vision. If it had been even farther away, we would have been unable to determine that it is not a person. That is the origin of the confusion and invalidity of philosophy. It loves to pride itself in understanding all the negatives about his essence. However, the sages of Kabbalah put their hand to their mouth at this point and do not give him even a simple name. For we do not define by name or a word that which we do not attain. Meaning, it's the most practical. And attainment is considered the deepest understanding. The true intrinsic understanding of any cause and consequence, any reason for anything, with all its possible results in depth and width, that's the attainment. Otherwise, it is not attainment. I attain something. We use these words, this terminology, but it's incorrect. I understand. But if I say that I attain, then I attained it from the root of the situation. Like the Creator who created me, I attained his thought about it from beginning to end, everything that happens with it. This is called attainment. Before that, it is only understanding. So they think that they attain. Yes. That is because a word designates some degree of attainment. However, Kabbalists do speak a great deal about his illumination in reality, meaning all those illuminations that have actually attained, that they have actually attained as validly as tangible attainment. Much more than tangible attainment. Because in our world, we don't know where we are, how we feel, how we are operated, what we operate, anything. In spirituality, if a person has spiritual attainment, that attainment for him is just clarity of every situation he is in. Thousands of powers operate on him, from him, with all the reasons, all the results, everything is clear, lucid. This is the spiritual attainment. Of course, philosophers don't have that, so they philosophize. That is why many, they did a lot of harm to humanity by being next to every government, every governor. By that, they only confused them, and humanity erred along the way often. According to the rule, everything that we do not attain, we don't define by name in a word, then should we understand that even before one attains the Creator, the first form of spirituality, should he rely on the highest form that he could somehow connect to this term? We change all the time before we enter spirituality, and even in spirituality, before we establish ourselves on a permanent patsuf, on a permanent dimension, and from it grow, meaning experience, go through a process in spirituality, we have nothing to rely on. And it's called the path of Torah. The mitzvah defends and says when you deal with it, and Torah says both when you deal with it and when you don't. So in every situation, you can extract that light that sustains you. So before that, you can't talk about a person as progressing in understanding and in clarity. That's why it says that everything you can do. They give tips, and we progress according to tips. Just like children, they look at grown-ups and do exactly what the grown-ups do. The grown-up might do the silliest things, and the child with the greatest utter seriousness will follow him. And the surprising thing is that the grown-ups do silly things, but when the children imitate them, they learn from it. They get smarter. So it doesn't matter for us if we understand what to do or do not understand what to do. If we try, that effort leads us along the way. It's the measure of our exertion. There's no intellect in it. There's nothing. Only our efforts. Meaning, you might not know what Kabbalists tell you. You might not understand it. You might be doing it incorrectly according to their recommendations. But you try. And that's the only thing that's taken into consideration. That is why it says, you labor and find. And it's not that you succeed in something. You only made an effort. And that will complete our lesson. We thank our viewers. Have a good day or a good night.